Thank you. So as we deepen our connection with the silence, the source of being, the infinite potential of consciousness, our true nature, we give thanks for the abundance of love and creative awareness that fills our mind and heart, that has guided us in this lifetime to question the delusions of our society and to open to the inner wisdom that is always shining in our heart. So breathing consciously with every inhalation, opening to what the breath is, the spirit that flows throughout the entire creation, connecting us all with each other, with all forms of life, with the past, present, and future, with the infinite love that manifests as this earth, and the amazing celebration of life here. That manifests as the entire cosmos. Manifests as the compassion that we see all around us in people, caring for each other and for animals, that we see also very often in animals. Underlying wisdom that one life lives through us all and loves through us all as well. We give thanks for all of the co-hearts on this earth at this time, working hard, every one of us in our own way, to be part of the awakening of human consciousness, awakening out of the delusion of separateness to the truth of the infinite interconnectedness of all life, of all expressions of life. And we open our hearts now especially to the non-human living beings we refer to as animals, sending them our love and appreciation for their beauty, for their suffering at our hands, asking their forgiveness. May all beings be happy and at peace. May we all realize the original brightness of our minds, of our hearts, and and be liberated from delusion. So we see the infinite web of life now. The great garden. As we humans awaken out of our delusion, come into harmony. Breathing. We connect now with the four aspects of our true nature. With every inhalation engendering the feeling of loving kindness, and with every exhalation radiating this loving kindness in all directions, filling the whole world with the light of kindness and benevolence. And sending this love to all beings, even those who may be difficult for us. Filling our consciousness with love for all beings and for the unique and beautiful being that we are. Abiding in our true home, abiding in love and kindness, with every inhalation now, we engender in our heart a feeling of compassion, the yearning that others be free from suffering and from all of the causes of suffering. And with every exhalation, radiating compassion in all directions. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Breathing and radiating compassion. Abiding in our true home. Abiding in compassion. With every inhalation now we engender in our heart the awareness of joy, the great joy of mudita, the joy that needs no reasons, in the outer world. With every exhalation, we allow this feeling of joy to radiate from our heart, filling the whole earth. The minds and hearts of all beings, knowing this is our true nature. We need nothing in the outer world to be filled with joy. abiding in our true home, abiding in joy, breathing and radiating joy to all beings. And finally, now we engender in our heart the great peace that comes naturally when our minds and hearts are filled with love, compassion, and joy. We are at peace. And with every exhalation, radiate peace to all living beings. See the whole earth bathed in the light of loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace. This is the truth of being. Abiding in our true home, abiding in peace. Breathing and radiating love, compassion, joy, and peace. Love, compassion, joy, and peace. May all beings be free, and may each one of us, as we go forth into our month, be always guided by the inner wisdom that knows our true nature as infinite and eternal consciousness that was never born and will never die. We give thanks for each other and for this precious opportunity of a human life. We give thanks knowing this is so. So it is.
Namaste. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. We are, and thank you, Lisa, for turning on the recording. Mm-hmm. I failed to do that. My apologies. And so we'll go ahead and I'll just mention it again. This is Thursday, September 19th, 2024. So this is our third Thursday, World Peace Diet Circle. I'm Dr. Will Tuttle, and thank you all for joining us. So we just finished our meditation, and welcome everyone. Thank you, Davi, all the way from, I just think it's so great you come all the way from the middle of the night in England. Thanks for joining us, and everyone else. And so, as I was saying briefly before the call, it wasn't recorded, so I'll just say it now. We are going on a lecture tour next month, and from the 11th of October up through Northern California, Oregon, Washington, and into, even into British Columbia. And so we are not going to be able to have our third Thursday on Thursday. It's going to be the fourth Thursday next month, a one-time only fourth Thursday, because of a strange glitch in the schedule where the place that we're going to be on the third Thursday, I discovered later after we'd already settled everything up, has no Wi-Fi or phone or anything. It's way out in the middle of nowhere. It's a Brighton Bush. Has anyone been to Brighton Bush Hot Springs in Oregon? I've been there. It was years ago, probably 40 years ago. It's a beautiful place, and they have a piano. So I'll be doing a lecture promoting veganism to all the people that are there, and with music. So that's happening on the third Thursday of October, and right before that we'll be going to quite a few places, actually. We'll be in Mount Shasta, and then up in Eugene, Oregon, and then over in Florence, Oregon, and then up to Portland, Vancouver, Washington, and then up to Squim, and then up to British Columbia, our dear friends Christine, and we have the McLarnons up in British Columbia are going to be hosting us there. And so we're going to be crossing the border and back again, going on the ferry. And then we'll be in our little tiny little van the whole time, of course. And we just put lead shielding in for protection from any EMF fields. So that was kind of a big project, all encased. But anyway, so let's see. And then we're going to Bremerton, which is right outside Seattle, and then down to Brighton Bush, and then over down to Bend, and then over to Roseburg, and then down to Ashland, and then back home. So that'll be our whirlwind of a tour. It looks like it's coming together pretty well. It's an opportunity to spread the vegan message wherever we go, and also in quite a few places to encourage people to question all the official narratives in our society that promote the abuse of beings and loss of freedom, not only for animals but for us too. And then the following month in November, we'll be leaving in our van for 5 months and going all the way across the country to Florida and doing quite a few events on the way, of course, for that 5 months. We'll be 2 months again in Hippocrates, January and February. We have some friends from New Jersey, from India, who are now all excited. They're planning on joining us in Hippocrates. They're Jains and really interested in heat and being healthy. And so, and some of them are even coming all the way from India, from Calcutta, just to go to Hippocrates. And so they want to go when we're there because we're pretty good friends with of them. We've known them for years, and they introduced me actually to Chitra Banerjee, who is the great teacher who just passed away recently at the age of, I think, about 98, who converted in many a lot of the Jains to veganism, and a wonderful human being. Have I told you the story of him, his story? Jains, they take a vow. The very the Jain monks, when they become, and his father was involved in Jainism quite intensely. His whole family was. So when, as a young man, I think he was only 20, he took the vows and he became a monk. And so the vows of Jain monks are very strict, and they don't ever take a vehicle. They walk, and they don't ever wear shoes. It's always barefoot and walking. And so so for that reason, that no Jainism has never spread outside of India by monks. I mean, it's the people will kind of move, and they'll go to England, and they'll live in different countries, and there'll be Jains living there, but they don't have any teachers. They don't have any monks or nuns to teach them, because they can't get on a car or a boat or a plane or do anything. They just stay there in India. And so anyway, they're very famous for being vegetarians. They're hardcore vegetarians. And Mahavir, who is the founder of, not really the, he's kind of considered the main teacher. He was a contemporary of the Buddha, and so there's a lot of very similar teachings to Buddhism. But anyway, so he discovered somebody. I think it was Anil Narang actually helped this guy from India, from New Jersey, I'm telling you about, introduce me to Chitra Banerjee. And that suddenly opened up all these doors where I was speaking to these big conferences. They would be usually 1 or 2 or 3,000 people would come to these huge conferences. The Young Jane Conference, I remember speaking at that in Chicago. And then the big one they had, the annual one in London. They flew us over to London to speak at that one. And then 2 years later in San Francisco, there was a big Jane gathering, a couple thousand people. And my only purpose for being there was to give a talk trying to encourage the Janes who are vegetarians to go vegan. And I think it was pretty successful. We had, because I remember the line, like at the Young Janes, there were three lines. There was two lines for the vegetarian and one line for the vegan. And not many people were in the vegan line. They were all in the vegetarian line. But after my talk, they were all in the vegan line. I remember that very well. It was kind of made me feel really happy to see all these young vegans starting out. But the interesting thing about Chitra Banerjee was he was an old, this old guy, and he was the first monk, Jain monk ever in the history of India get on a plane and fly away to England and also to Africa to be a teacher. And so he was really hated by the monks. They said, "Oh, you broke your vows and all this stuff." But he was such a great teacher and wrote so many books and gave so many lectures and was so energetic that they got over all that and they loved him. Because like, well, you're and they loved him in England. They loved him in the United States. There was a big center in Michigan, I used to go to the Lighthouse Center. It was a Jain center that his students started, and he had a center in New York City, and then he would go and teach all over the country, and very vigorous, active guy, and he always spread the vegan message. And so he loved my book, The World Peace Act, because it brings in the spirituality. So he asked me to speak for these conferences, and then what was so interesting was that they opened this temple in Los Angeles, a big, huge temple, and they asked him to please come to the opening ceremony and lead the blessing of the temple. And he said, "Okay, I'll come." He was in New York City, and he said, "I'll come and do that on one condition, that you don't use any animal products, you don't use any ghee and butter and all this stuff." And they said, "Oh no, we have to. We always do. Are you kidding? I mean, come on." And he said, "No, you can, but I'm not going to come if you do." And that threw the whole Los Angeles Jain community into a big tizzy, wondering what they should do. They really wanted him to come. They love this guy. But he was very strict. And so finally, they wrote back to the very senior, highest Jain monks in India, and they said. They told him the situation, and they said, "What should we do?" And the monks in India said very clearly, "You got to use the butter. You got to use ghee. I mean, you can't use water." He was recommending using water instead. So they said, "Sorry, they said we have to use the butter and the ghee for the offerings." And then Chitra Banerjee said, "Okay, no problem. I just have somebody else do it then." So then they thought about it some more, and then they said, "All right, we changed our mind. We want you to do it. We'll do it all vegan." And so they did. They did it all vegan and with no butter and no ghee, and the center has been thriving. So I think that's really the kind of loving. He was very loving, but he just said, "It's not. I'm not going to bless a temple." Knowing that the products I'm using are causing suffering and violence to vulnerable beings. I mean, why would I do that? That goes completely against ahimsa, which is the primary teaching of the Jain tradition. I mean, we have to get with the times here and think about these things, So I think, these kinds of light beings, they really make a difference and get people to question things and so forth. So I think it's inspiring to know that these things are happening, and I'm glad now that the same people are going to be going down to Hippocrates and some of the people from India right when we're there. Apparently, we'll see if they actually do. But if anybody wants to join us, just come on down. We'll be there from Christmas until Valentine's Day, basically. That's when we're usually there. All right. So any now, does anyone have any concerns or questions or anything? I do want to just mention one thing before we jump into something else, just so I don't forget, or if we sometimes get into things, that on Saturday we have a special event. There's an online community. It's called the Vegan Community. It used to be called WeDidIt.health. Now it's called the VeganCommunity.org. It's just a rebranding, basically. But they're putting on a yoga and spirituality and veganism summit, I guess you'd say, an online summit conference on Saturday. So you may already have heard about it. I sent out some emails a little bit, but they've asked me to be the host and master of ceremonies or whatever of this. And we do have Angel is with us here. Thank you, Angel. Angel Honig from Maui is one of our six experts who will be joining us. And we have such a huge range of time zones. I mean, we have this wonderful woman, Gina. I didn't know who it was at first. They said, how about having this woman, Gina? She's a yoga teacher. I met her in Chiang Mai in Thailand years ago. I went to a center there and gave a lecture. This beautiful woman who has an amazing center out in the forest in Thailand. Really lovely person. So she's going to be the first one presenting. It's at 2 o'clock Eastern time, 11 o'clock Pacific time. So I think for her, it's going to be it's going to be like the middle of the night, something like that. And then right after her, we're having Gabriel Cousins, and he's in Israel. So for him, it's late. It's almost getting dark also. Or it is getting dark. I think it's at nine. I think it's 9:30 for him when he goes on at night, Israel time. And you know Gabriel Cousins, he's an MD, actually. He's an MD, but he was thrown out of the MD. I mean, they took away his medical license because he just was very clear that vaccinations are killing people and it's ridiculous. And so they threw him out. But he said, good, I don't care if you throw me out. I'm happily doing something else now. And he's been he had have any of you ever gone to that wonderful center he had in Patagonia? What was it called?
Tree of Life.
Tree of Life, right? The Tree of Life. Madeline and I, yeah, right. Tammy graduated. Tammy actually graduated as one of their went through their program, the health program. But we love going. We went to Patagonia to Tree of Life so many times and gave lectures there and worked with Gabriel Cousins over the years. He's a fantastic person. He's not only a Jewish rabbi and yoga instructor. He's gone through all the Native American traditions and even did the that dance they do. It's pretty intense. But
Yeah, the 4-year sun dancer.
the sun dance, right? I mean, yeah, you probably if you ever saw the film A Man Called Horse, I think it is, that's about that. And but anyway, Gabriel Cousins, and then we have Marlene Watson-Tara, who's a wonderful yoga teacher and cooking instructor and educator in England, in London. And then we also have Victoria Moran in New York City. You probably all know her. She's a longtime vegan educator, has the Main Street Vegan Academy. And then we have Sally Lipsky, who's another vegan yoga instructor as well. So from, I think, the Midwest somewhere. But anyway, so those are our six, and that's on Saturday. So please join us, tell your friends. It's free. And then we have a panel, and you can ask questions. We're really trying to help the yoga studios really live the, as Angel's book is so well, about she has a whole book on this, the solution. It's called SOULUTION, the yamas, the niyamas, and all the different benefits, as you all know, of going vegan and getting spirituality is connected to that. So that event is on Saturday. And I'll stop there. Gino, you have your hand up. So what would you like to say?
A couple of odds and ends here. You mentioned Gabriel Cousins, and I did see him speak at a conference earlier this year. I watched a slew of these near the beginning of the year, and it was his turn to speak, and he did that dance first. He said he was going to start with the dance.
Oh, really?
And yeah, now Gabriel Cousins is not 40 years old. He's a very old man. Watching him dance, I said, how I've never seen a person that age dance that well. I couldn't even. When he was done, without taking a breath, he went right into being interviewed. He wasn't breathing heavily. As how? Please tell me how. Right? Amazing. But
No,
then I
he's
had.
amazing. No, he's beyond amazing. No, he's
Yeah.
80. He had his 80th birthday, I think this year or recently.
I think it was 2 years ago. I think he's going to be 82
Oh,
this
all
September.
right. Oh, so you know better.
He can do 1,100 consecutive push-ups.
Oh my God.
He walks around. Last time I was there a few years ago, he was walking around on his hands, and he's
Really?
testament to the power of consciousness, raw food, fasting, and living your dharma, living your truth.
Yeah.
Just like you are, Will, and everyone else here. Thank you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I need to make him my best friend, so I'm gonna
Yeah.
work on it. But the other was just a minor question. And you mentioned you're going to be in Florida at the Hippocrates Institute. Do you happen to have a date?
Oh yeah, no, we're there. Like I said, from Christmas, from December 22nd or 23rd, we'll get there one of those 2 days, until February 14th or
Okay.
15th, mid-February.
All right. Now I can look this up, but in case you happen to know the top of your head, how far away is that from Tampa area?
From Tampa, well, it's just across the peninsula. You know, it's just basically a little south. So it would be from Tampa, probably a 4.5 hour drive, maybe.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm only asking because my family lives there and I
Oh,
go there
okay.
once or twice a year. And who knows, maybe I can come see you guys.
That would be great. You know, it's open to the public if you want to just come and have dinner and look or lunch or whatever. And but to actually attend there, they really like you to do a week program, a 1 week
Oh,
minimum.
okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's kind of how it's set up.
Got it.
Yeah, one
All
or
right.
two or 3 weeks, something like that. But you're always welcome to come and just be there, you know, for a time. But it's
Yeah.
they kind of have a thing where you have to do it. To do a program, you have to go for a week. Yeah.
Right. No, I envision just going there for, a few hours.
Yeah.
That's about it.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's 60 acres of real amazing beauty. It's
Great.
thousands and thousands of trees and ponds and I mean not thousands of ponds but a few ponds and waterfalls and and statues everywhere, and it really it's a lovely place actually. It's
Very nice.
yeah
All
yeah
righty, thank you.
yeah 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 Anything else? Anyone has any questions or comments about anything that you'd like to? Yes, the Saturday event will be recorded. If you register for the event, then you can see the recording for free. If you don't register for the event, then you can see the recording, but you have to become a member of the vegan community, which costs, I think, $20 a month or something like that. But if you register, you can and I'm sending out an email tonight or tomorrow morning, another one. But just go to okay, just go what's the link? Just go to vegan community, oh gosh, vegancommunity.org/yoga. That'll take you to the page all about it. If you didn't get my emails, it's also on my Facebook page and the World Peace Diet Facebook group. Oh, by the way, another thing I have to say about Facebook. You know how I send out emails. I don't know how many of you get my emails because a lot of times they're blocked. But anyway, every week. Excuse me, well, twice a month, every other week, I send out emails, and I also send the recording of our talk, and it's always on the same page. It's worldpeacediet.com. What is it? I don't know. Anyway, it's a page that has all of the recordings since 2011. And so if you go there, you can see this current recording. You can see a recording from last time and that time before and all of them. It's like we're up to like number 200 and something. Facebook has decided that that page, which all it has is a list of recordings, that's all it has on it, is absolutely forbidden for anyone to ever post. And it's just they're so severe. I mean they're so. I made a mistake and it was included today because the last few months I haven't been able to post it. They've They've told me that this is does not comply with community standards to post that website. And so now I'm banned. I can't even do anything on Facebook for 2 days. I'm like in jail for mistakenly putting it on there. I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." And I took it off. I tried to repost it, and they said, "No, you can't do anything for 2 days." So, you know, it's so ridiculous. I mean, it's just a list of links to verbal, you know, for recordings. Well, I guess, of course, if they knew what we were saying, they probably they definitely would ban it. So I guess they have their AI in there listening and reading and watching every little thing. It's the dangest thing. I mean, when I think of that, they just pick that out of everything. So, but anyway, so we're very subversive here, I guess. So ridiculous. But that's the problem anyway. So I can't post anything on Facebook today or tomorrow. I guess I can maybe on Saturday. Somebody say something? Or
Well, oh, it was me, Will.
oh, hi, Susan.
Susan.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
I just so you're not talking about when you send us an email with the link to all the prior recordings, but on Facebook, when you send that link
When I post it
that
on the
rings the
Facebook, yeah,
bell.
when I post it on the World Peace Diet Facilitators private group, I post
Right.
it there, and then that's it. They have a fit. So
Oh, okay.
I can't post it there anymore, unfortunately. So I'm getting
Yeah.
around that by just posting the unique link for that particular week only. I can do that.
Yeah.
But it's really too bad that I can't post the whole thing because it's got everything on there, but they won't let me. So I
Yeah,
think that's
all right.
permanent. Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, that's
As
tough.
long as it's too bad, but as long as I'm getting your email and then it's all there every
Yeah,
week, so I
right.
can click on that link.
Right. It's always on the email. I always send, it's always on
Yeah,
the email. Yeah.
I'm sorry to bother you, but I didn't get my usual email from you on my Yahoo email this month, and I see it's on my Google account, but I didn't get it on Yahoo this month. So.
Yeah, it's an ongoing problem. You know, the spam filters are always more and more aggressive, and I don't have one of these high-powered accounts. Maybe I probably will get one here pretty that makes it go through no matter what. So
Okay.
it's, you know, so you have to really go into your settings on that on your email
Oh.
server and say always send this to my inbox. You have to do that, or sooner or
Right.
later it's going to stop coming to you. I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
Yeah, their
Oh.
system.
I'll look out for that.
Yeah,
Okay.
you have to do that.
Bye bye. Thank you. I'll listen.
Okay. All right.
Thank
Yeah. Bye
you.
bye.
Bye.
Let's see. Anyone else? Did you have your hand up, Andy? Oh, I don't hear you.
Yes,
Oh,
hi.
okay.
There we go. Just a few minor things. So what you were just talking about, this thing that you were promoting, when is that and what are the hours?
Saturday, okay, it's this Saturday, day after tomorrow,
Okay.
and it's from Pacific time, California time, it's from 11 a.m. until about 1:30 at the latest,
Oh, so just 2
1:50.
and a half hours.
Yeah, right.
Okay, but it's going to have all these speakers, Gabriel Cousins
Yeah, each
and
person gets 15 minutes.
Oh,
So six
wow.
speakers each get 15 minutes, then we have about a half hour Q&A. You guys can ask questions and so forth.
Oh,
A
wow.
panel
Okay, so
discussion.
that sounds fabulous. And I was thrilled. Thank you so much for telling. I didn't realize Gabriel Cousins, I guess, stand for freedom. And
Yes.
I'm so proud of him that he said, I don't need the medical license and you can keep it. Or I
Yeah.
just, that sounds amazing. And shoot, there was one other thing. I can't remember. I guess if I think of it,
Yeah, just raise your hand if you want to
I'll
say
raise
it.
my hand again, but thank you so much for letting me know. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Okay, so what else? So quite a few things, of course, have been happening. If people have specific things they'd like me to focus, I'll just run through quickly the resources, a couple of things. Please have it, if you have a chance, please watch the interview with Peggy Hall. I think it came out really well. You know who she is, probably. She's been a health freedom advocate for a long time. Madeline. Oh, okay. Yeah, Madeline is reminding me to talk about the chemicals, and so I will. Yeah, I'll talk about that right now since she mentioned it. Thanks, sweetheart. Yeah, I just watched a video yesterday. It's a very brief thing, but it's important, I think. This researcher, I think he's an MD also. He's German. He's pretty well known. I forget his name right now, but I think he spends most of his time in the United States. He made a very short video, only about 4 minutes, 3 minutes long, but he just was basically saying that researchers have known for a long time, and we're learning more about this all the time, that the mind and body are not separate. They really interact with each other enormously, and that one of the most important connections we have spiritually with our intuition is through our pineal gland. You know, the pineal gland is what's referred to as the third eye in the it's in the brain, back behind here. It's a very small little gland, but it's apparently very important for spiritual development and for connecting with your true nature. And so this researcher was saying that they understand that there are four substances that the pineal gland is very sensitive to, and that really calcify it and shut it down. And so basically, what he said is it just disconnects you from your soul, so you just become a material person. You lose your spirituality. When the pineal gland is shut down, you lose your spirituality, and you really lose, in many ways, your native intelligence, the real intelligence that helps us to function not just as material objects, but as spiritual, eternal beings. And those four substances, he said, are number one is aluminum, which I thought was very interesting. Number two is fluoride. Number three is glyphosate. And number four is Wi-Fi, electronic Wi-Fi. And so you just think, I mean, those four things, we're just bathing in those. I mean, if you're not really consciously being proactive to protect yourself from those four things, then it explains a lot. I think it explains a lot why people are so gullible, why they go along with official narratives, why they don't question things, why they just do what they're told. And aluminum, of course, we can talk about it briefly, but aluminum is a very it's very pervasive. There's a lot of aluminum, and I think it's like the third or fourth most pervasive element, but it's normally locked up and not in not being but there's nano particles of aluminum in chemtrails. That's pretty well known. Aluminum, strontium, and barium, and so it's coming down from the sky in chemtrails. It's also, of course, in a lot of the vaccines have aluminum as an adjuvant, and they give it to little kids, right off the bat, as soon as they're born. And of course, autism rates have skyrocketed, and autism and Parkinson's are both directly related to aluminum. But also what he's saying is the disconnectedness with our spirituality through aluminum. And also another thing is there's a lot of aluminum in cookware. So one of the things that it's important to really get good pans. If you're going to be cooking your food, get good pans that don't have any, that don't leach. I mean, don't for sure don't have aluminum. But we have stainless steel. And I mean, we don't have stainless steel. We have surgical steel and titanium. That's what you really have to have, like made by Salad Master or by Healthcraft. There's a few companies that make that. They are more expensive. There's probably $200 or $300 for a pan, but they last forever. You only need a few pans, two or three, and then you're set. Your great great grandkids can use them. They're really good. So, because we've met a woman who had chronic disease until she changed her pans. I mean, they leach heavy metals, aluminum and other metals that are recycled in these pans. And so that's aluminum in medications and everywhere. And then fluoride, I mean, fluoride, of course, is in the water. They fluoridate most of the water supplies in the United States, and it's not that easy to get it out. It's not like you can get it out easily, so you need a special filter to get fluoride out. You either have to use a distiller, or you have to use a really good carbon block or reverse osmosis to get out fluoride. We had in our RV when we lived on the road, we had a good filter on, but I had to get another filter, especially just for fluoride. Now they make one. I mean, we have one in our little van. Made by a company called Clearly Filtered. It's a pitcher. You can just pour the water through and it takes out fluoride. But really, don't ever drink water anywhere. And don't use fluoride toothpaste and don't use fluoride and all this stuff. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And then glyphosate. Oh my gosh. I mean, glyphosate is everywhere, and especially in the United States. So we don't, it's really become serious. We don't buy anything that's not organic. We don't go to restaurants if it's not organic. We just, that's it. Madeline has just laid down the law and that's it. We don't do it because glyphosate, besides being a broad spectrum antibiotic, it's carcinogenic. It attacks the nervous system and especially the pineal gland. And then finally, Wi-Fi, be conscious of Wi-Fi. I mean, like where we live in our house, we have everything on Ethernet cables and we don't have any Wi-Fi that we use here, except I'm using it right now because I'm on the piano, but so I use it a little bit. But try to just, minimize, and especially don't have a router in your bedroom or whatever. I mean, try to turn it off at night or, just mod, try to be savvy about this. And gosh, it's amazing how these 5G towers have gone up all over. As soon as the lockdowns happened in like January, February, March, April, May, June of 2020, everybody was locked in their homes. And all these teams spread out, fanned out across continent, North America, probably everywhere, Europe, everywhere, and just put up 5G towers. And so you need to be aware of that and do your best not to get too close to them. They're weapons. They're weapons, actually. They're deadly. From the research I've done, they have very, very high frequency radiation that they're capable of producing. So we have to understand. Now,
Well,
there's
what is
basically a.
glycosate?
Pardon me?
What is glycosate?
Glyphosate is Roundup.
Oh, Roundup. Ooh.
Yeah. Glyphosate's the main ingredient in Roundup. Yeah, that's what glyphosate is. And it's basically sprayed on everything. I mean, there's really nothing that's not sprayed. So even I mean, hopefully organic is good, but if anything that's conventional is going to have glyphosate residues, anything at all. So it's really good to try to avoid that as much as you can, grow your own food, and just realize, that there's no money in healthy people. I mean, that's the thing. There's no money. And as all the money is in when chronic disease, and chronic disease has gone from 6% when I was a kid to 70%. Now 70% of the people. I just read today. I mean, this is amazing. In 2023, pharmacies fulfilled 4.85 billion prescriptions. That's an average of 15 prescriptions for every man, woman, and child in the United States. That's incredible. And the average adult is on two medications for chronic illness, and the elderly people are on an average of 20 medications for chronic illness. I mean, you know how much money is generated by this sickness? This is unprecedented. And again, it's not our fault in the sense that we're being targeted in a war to make us sick. I mean, that's where the money is, and not only the money, but the power. The last thing they want is people who are strong and healthy and vibrant and alive and questioning everything and not going along with the protocols. And so we need to really understand that and be proactive in protecting ourselves from these substances that are spewing everywhere and they're in everything. And these, besides the vaccines, which are just genocidal, the tests that they're giving, be careful of tests. When they say, oh, you have to have a COVID test, I mean, you don't know what they're putting in there. I mean, there's very often there are vaccines in those potentially. So it's very important. It's not that these people are bad people, the doctors and so forth. They're just following protocols. If they don't follow the protocols, then they lose their license. So they do, and the nurses and everybody. But we have to be savvy or we're going to suffer the consequences for sure. Oh, Madeline wants to say something. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Here she is.
Hi. Hi. Hello. Nice to see you all. Nice to see you all. I'd like to add something about if you're in the habit of, about the fluoride, if you're in the habit to drink coffee, tea, chai, or any of these things, and get it Starbucks or, you know, wherever, and think it's cool and easy, but there you're loaded with fluoride because they probably don't have a fluoride filter. So better make your coffee and, or don't drink any coffee, or any of these drinks which have a lot of water. It's more serious than if you eat, because when you eat, you have also a lot of water in the restaurants, in the noodles or in the rice. So fluoride is really a hard thing to get out of it, but avoid it. For your brain, for the spirituality.
All right, thanks. I see we have a few hands up here. Yes, Gino.
Actually, Andy's hand.
Oh,
was
Andy. Sorry, I didn't know who was first. Andy, go ahead.
There we go. Will, I wanted to ask you, I think you said something about, did you guys just do something with your van to protect it from EMFs?
Yeah, we bought some lead, like a 1/8 inch or 1/16 inch, 1 foot by 4 foot sheets, and put it in heavy plastic and then inside cloth. And we just have it covering the batteries. We have two batteries, the inverter, all the electronic stuff. Just to really assure, Madeline is very sensitive to these things. I'm not that sensitive. I didn't really notice it, but she could really feel that it was, like at night she wouldn't sleep well and things like that. So today I finally was able to install that stuff and Madeline made these beautiful little cloth covers for the lead because you don't want to touch lead or it's also. Somewhat.
Because I thought lead was dangerous.
Well, it's not dangerous. I mean, it is if you eat it or if you rub it on your skin. But if you just wrap it up in a piece of plastic and, you know, it's not going to do anything. It doesn't outgas or anything like that.
So lead would block like EMF?
Oh, yeah. I mean, lead is ultimate. Yeah, it blocks everything.
So you put it around your batteries.
We put it underneath the mattress where we sleep. Up where our heads are, and the batteries are up in that direction, so it kind of blocks there. Yeah, that's what we did. We thought, if you go to a dentist and they do the X-ray, they always put this big heavy lead thing on to protect themselves from radiation. You know, lead is the ultimate thing. I mean,
so I just got a battery, a Bluetti, and I guess there's some inverter within it, but it's in my van. But it does need air and breathing space. But you're saying, should something like that have a protection around it also in some way, or?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you can put something between it and you where you are, you know, covering over it, like you say, you know, it has to breathe. So you have to kind of engineer it maybe a little bit. But it's helpful. You know, you can also buy, what's that company in Florida? You can go to Defender Shield. DefenderShield.com. They make all kinds of stuff. You know, they make cloth that blocks EMF, and they make everything that blocks EMF. And I think it's good. But, you know, we just decided we're just going to get lead because that we already have Defender Shield stuff, and that helps. But lead, you know, that's really, really does it. So anyway, so we put some there.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're living in a world. I mean, it's well known that the human body, everything in it, it's electrical. Right? We're electrical beings. I mean, all of our nerves, our brain wave, everything, we're giving out electrical signals. The brain is an electrical frequency. Our heart is a huge electromagnetic entity. And yet we're, for the first time ever in millions of years, we're living in these artificial electrical fields that are everywhere. I mean, even in our houses, there's grids all over the place. So it's good to be aware of that. And of course, some people are more sensitive than others, I guess. But even if you're not sensitive, it's probably not the greatest thing. So again, we have to be proactive. Don't ever think for a second that the government or the industry or the banks or the doctors or anyone will say anything but, oh, don't worry, it's safe, no problem, you're just fine, come on in, and we'll take care of your cancer, come on in, we'll take care of your all your, you know, Parkinson's and dementia and everything else. They will love that. That's how they make their living. So, you know, you gotta be proactive and do your homework. It's like, you know, we're livestock essentially at this point. Yes, Gino.
Yeah, I did see that film that you posted on Facebook, and I
oh was yeah,
very interesting. And I, you know, I honed in on fluoride, and it brought back a couple of things from my past. And one was about 3 or 4 years ago. There's a couple I've known for years, and they're so mainstream in all their choices. And I had been trying to make them vegan. I'm doing all these things. So one day I went over and I thought, you know, fluoride. Are you guys, what's your water? Oh, we just drink it out of the faucet. I said, no, no, stop. I said, fluoride is horrible for you. In fact, I have this information here. We get Doug. I says, we can go to this place and look at their devices and, you know, the purify water and everything. And he lit into me. It's like, you know, it's like, you're telling me what to eat. You're telling me I can't drink water now. It's like, I backed off and I've never said that again.
Wow.
So, but then historically, this whole thing about fluoride has, I mean, I've been around forever. And like in the 1960s, all the commercials about fluoride toothpaste and how great that was in preventing cavities and everything. And, you know, as a little boy, my mom was always watching me to see how I was brushing my teeth. So really rub in that fluoride really well, you know? And, you know, I had, you know, I'd go to the dentist and I was getting cavities all the time because of my diet, you know, sugar and all this stuff.
Right.
And, you know, I used to like to imitate the commercials that were on TV. And back then they had Crest toothpaste, which was a big deal toothpaste.
Right.
And I see, how does it go? Crest has been proven to be an effective decay preventive dentifrice when used in a conscientiously applied program of oral hygiene and regular professional care. Okay.
I remember that. I remember you, that. Yeah.
See, I know you do.
Yeah.
You know, all these things have been in my head for years. All these commercials. I know all the cigarette commercials. I know
You have it memorized. You heard it so many times.
I guess. Anyway, so it just speaks historically that even way back then they were pressing fluoride, and now they're just like, oh yeah, fluoride's okay, just throw it in everything. It's great after all these years.
Well, that's the thing, and what they discovered apparently was the research I did for the World Peace, I mean for the Food for Freedom, that in the prisoner of war camps that the United States was running in Southeast Asia, they realized that early on that fluoride would make the prisoners very compliant. They wouldn't. They it would kind of take away their emotional vividness. It would make them just kind of go along with whatever the program was, and they had a much easier time controlling the prisoners when they put fluoride in the water. And I think that's part of maybe what it does is, you know, it's very toxic. I mean, the fluoride is a known toxin. Most of the hideous things that are used, these chemicals, these pesticides and herbicides, they all have fluoride in them. And so it really attacks the nervous system and attacks, I think, the subtle energy system in the body that sort of disconnects us from who we are and makes us into a thing rather than a being. And so I think it's definitely big on the agenda. You know, there's a few things that are big on the agenda. One is vaccinations, because that's how you really create a population of sick, compliant people. Vaccines are the number one thing you cannot question. Number two is global warming. That's how you enslave everybody. You can't go anywhere. You can't travel. And number three, depopulation. Too many people. It's we gotta stop having babies. Those are the big three that you're not allowed to question. And of course, that's when you want to cull the livestock and control the livestock. Those are the three things that you've got to emphasize. If you have a tiny minority that's running everything, which is obviously what's happened at this point. So fluoride is a major thing. And the interesting thing, really, when you think about it with aluminum, is that the source of actually a fluoride that they use is from aluminum smelting. When they smelt aluminum, they have all this fluoride. They have to use fluoride in order to separate the aluminum from the ore. And they have this toxic fluoride. They don't know what to do with it. I mean, it was going to cost the industry millions and billions of dollars to dispose of this fluoride toxic waste, and they just put it in the water, give it to everybody. I mean, you can't make it up. I mean, it's incredible that that's allowed still to actually be allowed to happen, but it is. And there are communities that are conscious, like where we live here in Hidden Valley Lake, California, the water is not fluoridated, and there are communities where people have, fought back and got it out. But most major cities and even most a lot of towns, they fluoridate the water, and people, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Then people drink it, and then they don't stand up for themselves anymore, and then they do even more. Then they get their kids vaccinated, and then they get autism through the roof, and it's just a dumbing down of people. It's a deliberate poisoning that's happening, and we have to be aware of that. And it's accelerating. I mean, it's really accelerating all the time. I mean, these mRNA vaccines are so much more terrible than the other ones. The other ones were sticking right into our veins, sticking all these toxic chemicals like polysorbate 80 and polyethylene glycol and aluminum and mercury and heavy metals, PCBs. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Glyphosate is in these vaccines. And also cow, pig, chicken, turkey, camel, dog, horse, chimpanzee cells, all that going right into your veins. I mean, how can vegans, the Vegan Society of London recommends everybody get vaccinated. That's the vegan society. That's like say, 'cause we, so we can be healthy. That's like saying, well, everybody should eat meat and dairy so we can be healthy vegans. That's what they're saying. You should eat plenty of meat and dairy so you can be healthy, so you can promote veganism. That's what's happening. I mean, they're saying you have to shoot these animal cells into your body so you can be healthy, so you can spread the vegan message. I mean, how can people believe this? I'm appalled, really, still. Because I've been blocked from speaking at a lot of conferences because of that, and it's really, really criminal, really, in many ways. But it's not. It's just people. They watch too much TV. That's the problem. Yes, Anne.
Yeah, there's a very good resource about fluoride. The website is The Truth About Fluoride. I can't remember if there's a the or not, but it's Truth About Fluoride. There's this guy named Casey Kroy, Kroy, and he's been around for some years doing a really deep dive into the fluoride problem and water filters and all the many sources of fluoride that people wouldn't suspect. But anyway, he's really good to learn as a good resource to learn about fluoride and if you want to make decisions about water filtering, because like you said, fluoride is very difficult to filter out. And the clearly filtered you mentioned you have, that's the one he recommends
Oh,
for like
good.
a counter filtering system that does actually take out fluoride. And what really surprised me, I used to have confidence in the Berkey system, and Berkey is no longer as reliable. And I was using their fluoride filters, feeling like I was doing good, but apparently there's a problem with Berkey fluoride filters leaching aluminum into the water.
Wow.
So
Wow.
Berkey should not, I
Thanks
mean, that's
for.
my opinion. Be
Wow.
relied on.
Right. Well, thanks for telling me. I didn't know that. I thought Berkeys were pretty good, but I knew they weren't good enough for us to use. But I thought they were pretty good. But
Yeah, they have
yeah.
a problem with fluoride.
And
I
aluminum.
also, yeah.
Berkey.
I also just wanted to mention that I read a really good article by James Corbett today about the next generation of the MNRI bioweapons, really. They're much more toxic.
Really?
Wow. Been approved. I forget the name he used for them, but I could email you the article. Maybe you can put it in the resources next month or something. But they've been approved for use in Japan.
Like, oh, I think I heard about that. Yeah.
That's amazing. One reason.
Right. Yeah. The new generation of mRNA. I heard about that. It sounds really terrible. And it's so ironic. It's coming out of Japan. You heard about Japan. These researchers in Japan have just come out saying that the COVID vaccines have caused 201 different injuries, all kinds of, I mean, besides, you know, killing people, but I mean, all kinds of nervous system and circulatory system and autoimmune system and blindness. And I mean, everything you can think of from these mRNA vaccines. And they've publicly, some of the officials have publicly apologized to the people of Japan and said, we're so sorry, we've caused such a medical disaster with these mRNA vaccines for the COVID. And yet they're talking about one that's even worse. I mean, you know, it's and then of course the other thing is the United Nations is meeting right now. I mean, in September, to formalize three absolute. Well, I mean, it's you know, it's a terrible thing. I mean, we have to understand that the greatest enemy of humanity is the United Nations. We have to really get that through our heads. The United Nations is run by the tiny globalist elite that are intent on enslaving humanity. And they make everything sound so good. Like we have the 17 Sustainable Development Goals. Every single one of them is to centralize power and control and enslave humanity. Every single one of them. Anyone who in any way supports the United Nations in any way is directly attacking humanity, because the United Nations is completely 100% captured by these elites. And they work hand in glove with the World Economic Forum and these gigantic, like BlackRock and Vanguard, who actually they're running these. I just was reading today how Vanguard owns not only the private prison complex, you know, all these private prisons now in the United States, and they also own the big music companies, Sony and all these big music companies. And back in the 1980s and 90s and early 2000s, and even still today, they basically infiltrated the music industry and with hip hop, and promoted hip hop and gangster rap to fill up. They actually had contracts that they signed that the prison complex would have to be guaranteed that it would be at least 90% full all the time. You know, and if they were going to take it over, and so they deliberately created music that would destroy the inner cities and send the people, you know, glorifying gun violence, glorifying rape, glorifying violence in general through this music, and filling up the prisons and making a lot of money. And it's that exact, those are the same people running the United Nations, I mean, running the whole global warming thing so that we can't have any freedom of the press, censorship, can't travel, all that stuff. And yet they make it sound like they care about us. And they want us to have, to enjoy music and to enjoy art, and all of it is dehumanizing and promotes violence. And terrible. I mean, and the sexual violence. I mean, don't even get me started with that. And this horrible sexual abuse of children, sexualizing of children. I mean, wow. So this is what you do to livestock if you want to control them. So the mainstream media has taken over. Democrat Party is completely captured. You know, I think we have to understand that very clearly. It's been happening. So. One of the things we can do, I think, is, you know, just understand it, try to spread it to the message to people who might be open to this. It's been problematic for me because if I talk about it, then pretty soon everywhere I go, they say, you can't come here. We're not going to. So it's really a tricky thing, because most of these vegans are all Democrats. You know, they're all believing the mainstream media and being woke, and saying that, you know, we should let kids who are 12 years old decide if they're boys or girls or not. I mean, you know, it's causing unbelievable amount of profit to these pharmaceutical industries, and suffering to families, and attacking the fabric of society. And we're not supposed to question it, right? I mean, that's the thing. So you know, we're really in a situation where I think underlying everything, of course, I always feel that, is the fact that what we are is infinite and eternal consciousness that was never born and will never die, and we can't be harmed, really. I mean, what we are is life itself, and so we don't have to fear anything. We can just try to be as effective as we can be in this life that we have. And I think the most important thing really is spreading the vegan message. You know, that's the most important thing. But spreading it also, from my point of view, in conjunction with the idea that we have to protect our freedom and our sanity, and question the official narratives in our society that promote violence towards animals and humans, and toward our freedom. And evil never looks evil. You know, evil usually looks pretty good. Look, oh yeah, they care. Look, we had the Green Revolution. It's all, we can feed all these people. Just buy our chemicals and our, and we have all these wonderful ideas for everything. And no, don't believe any of it. All right, I'm going to stop here. We have a few people with hands up. Andy, you've had yours up longer, I think. So go ahead.
Sorry, I keep raising it and lowering it and thinking of different things. I have an idea, and I just thought I would put it out there. It's something that I want to do locally because in Encinitas, where I live, the 15-minute city, I mean, people don't really know what's going on, but it's very clearly visible that things have drastically changed. Like, they've completely changed the roads, removed driving lanes, replaced them with bike lanes, all of that. They're building these huge residential complexes everywhere. So people are now very frustrated with what's going on in their city, and they get nowhere with the local government. You're familiar with Rosa Corey, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what I was thinking of doing was if I could rent like a little room, and I didn't know if other people might want to do this wherever they're at or something like this, because I was trying to think, you know, what can we do? And I was thinking if I rented a room maybe at the community senior center and showed like a Rosa Corey film to the neighborhoods, I thought I'd have to create another flyer and specify an event date. You know, we're going to show this film, you know, about what's happening in the neighborhood. And then have a discussion. And then my thought is to try to organize and, you know, do planning events of groups of people to demonstrate where all the construction sites are. Because it seems like we don't get anywhere with the government. And
No.
I don't know if you ever saw Mark Passio's very short clip from one of his videos where it was all on order followers. But anyway, very, very powerful. It was just about 7 minutes. But that's what I'm thinking. If the government refuses to listen to us, you know, because they're all bought and paid for, if we just went directly to the people who are the order followers, these construction sites, and just demonstrate, and not necessarily in a mean way, but to educate, because I've talked to the construction workers, but the one person doesn't do anything. And so the people are now very frustrated. They have like coyotes and bobcats coming into their yards looking for their pets to eat because we've stolen their land. So at
Wow.
least people are very aware now. You know, bad things are happening, but their local government won't do anything. Their local government are the ones planning all of this. So I don't know. What do you think about that? Like showing a Ro Rosa Corey video, having a discussion, and doing planning events to demonstrate where the construction workers are. And then I thought to get the neighborhood, you know, to tell them about the event, I would go door to door with flyers with an event date. I threw out a lot out there, but
Well, I appreciate that, Andy, and thanks for making the connection with Peggy Hall too. I should have mentioned that. That was really
Oh yeah. Oh, tell people.
your
Yeah,
dream.
I forgot. I wanted you to tell people about the video. I think you were about to, but then.
Oh yeah, I kind of got distracted. But yeah, the video is up. Your video is up. Peggy Hall. You can go to Peggy Hall's YouTube, and we talk about vegan. I got her to talk about veganism and and about all the other stuff, gullibility and vaccines and masks and everything else. And I think we maybe do some more. She sounds like she wants to do some more. But to answer your question, I think anything you can do to help people understand the stakes that are involved, you know, that there's a concerted drive to have the people be brainwashed about global warming, global climate change, and to have us all think that it's human caused, when in fact it's not at all human caused. We are not causing climate change, and so you can't question that, because that's the path that's been laid out to centralize power and create 15-minute cities, which are now being created all over the United States. I mean, there's already. Mm-hmm. San Jose, I think, is one, and Tempe, Arizona. There's four or five that are starting that are pilot projects, but there's going to be a lot more. And so the whole idea is that, you know, like the World Economic Forum guy said, he said in the not too distant future, airplane travel will be only for a few. they'll have their private jets, and nobody else. And you won't be able to fly. You won't be able to drive. I mean, you won't be able to go anywhere. Yeah, that's what, you know, that's the thing. So the whole idea is to just isolate people, and then also, unfortunately, I think obviously the agenda is also to not let people grow any of their own food either. And so they're going to start rationing water. I mean, we would not be able to grow food here if we couldn't irrigate. So we have to organize, I think, at the local level, and as much as we can, to help people understand to stop watching the TV and stop listening to the radio and stop reading the newspapers, because all they're doing is getting lies and disempowering information that will enslave them. The whole idea is to try to get people to do it voluntarily, to think, yes, I not only will I not drive, but I'll buy an electric car or whatever. But I'll tell my neighbor he shouldn't drive either, and I'll shame people around me if they go anywhere. And don't you know your carbon footprint and all this stuff? I mean, I understand. I used to think the same thing like 10 years ago, but I realized that it's a huge scam. It's a huge scam, and they weaponize our natural compassion and sense of responsibility against us. To make us enforce it on each other, and vegans are the worst. Like they're having in a couple of weeks this I just got this thing yesterday in Santa Cruz. They're having a climate fest and put on by the vegan group. You know, it's all about a climate. I mean, anyone who questions climate, if you're a vegan, you must not be part of the tribe anymore. And it's like there's no logic in it. I mean, but it's a complete total hoax. So anyway, I think if you can bring people together and raise awareness about it, that's the best thing. But I like you say, lawsuits might help. You know, lawsuits, sometimes that works.
What do you think about like demonstrating construction workers to have information for them? Because my thought is, you know, this is going to happen to them also when they're done building these prisons. They're going to be living in the prison. So I just didn't know like what to suggest, like what other work they could do. And they must have done other work before they started this humongous project.
Right.
But you just brought up something else where, what did you say? Climate Change Fest or something like that. I just thought of another idea that if vegan freedom people started showing up at those to educate those people about
truth.
And actually Rosa Corey, I mean, sadly she promoted meat and dairy and all that stuff, but she was a liberal Democrat. And
really?
So, yeah, she definitely had mentioned that. I mean, she's dead now, but she had mentioned that that she was a liberal Democrat.
Oh, she in earlier. Yeah, not yeah, right.
Right,
earlier.
right.
Yeah.
And so that's where she you know, I think one of her websites was called something like Democrat something. So that's where I think promoting Rosa Corey even to those climate change people, even though she wasn't vegan, they might be able to hear her a little better because she was a liberal Democrat. So
yeah, well,
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just I think use your intuition. You know, you kind of tune into these people, see what would maybe resonate with them. Rosa Corey, for those of you who don't know, wrote a book called Behind the Green Mask about the United Nations Agenda 2030 and how the United Nations and these forces have been able to take over national, state, local, county, every level. They've infiltrated down to the very, like when you have your all these things, like right here in Lake County and out here in the middle of nowhere in California, there's all these development guidelines that we have to follow, and they all come from the international level. It's amazing how it just gets, you know, just filtered right down to the local level, and here we are. We have to go along with it. So, anything we can do to work locally, I think, is a good thing to keep freedom alive while we can, and also, you know, spread the vegan message. And I you know, I'm doing my best to help vegans question climate change too, because there's this sort of this basic sense that you can't question it, but I think we have to. Okay,
yeah.
Angel, you had your hand up. We're getting close to the end of our time here, unfortunately, but yes.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you so much, Will, for all that you do to heighten awareness. And I was wondering if you would please comment on the Project 2025.
Oh, yeah, that's the Heritage Foundation Project 2025. And a lot of people say, oh, that Trump, you know, Trump follows that. And of course, he doesn't. He said very clearly that's something by a bunch of radical people, or whatever, that they think is a great thing. And it's nothing to do with me. So it has nothing to do with.
The forward to it was written by J.D. Vance.
Okay. It could be. But Trump has said it's not his program. But I haven't really, you know, it's very big. It's a long, huge monstrosity. I glanced through it quickly at one point. I don't agree with everything, but I think it's some great ideas, like getting rid of the Department of Education, for example. I mean, now we're talking like a great idea. We need to get rid of these bureaucracies that are completely destroying our children. The health bureaucracy, the education bureaucracy, they're horrible. And you know, there's some great ideas in that Project 2025. I mean, fantastic, liberating this country from being completely taken over by these globalist plutocrats who they write all these things. So this is I think it's a very good document all in all, in the sense that it's getting rid of a lot of government. You know, we think the government, these government, like the EPA and the FDA and the CDC, all these government agencies, that they're somehow supposed to protect us. I mean, forget it. I mean, just read today, the EPA is allowing the most toxic chemicals, they're called polyfluorinated, that's fluoride again, PFAS. They're not regulating them at all. They're just letting corporations just spew all they want. And we think, oh, we have the EPA to protect us. No, we have educational programs. They're mandating local school systems to sexualize children and all these terrible things, because the federal government has no business in education. What are they? I mean, we've let this monstrosity of a federal government completely enslave us. So Project 2025 attacks that, which I think is good. But I don't know a lot of the fine details. But Trump has already said it's not part of anything he's interested in anyway. So we have to, you know, but it's just being used as a hammer by the Democrats. And, you know, there's this thing. Some people think that it doesn't matter who we vote for, right? It's all one party, Democrat, Republican. They're all controlled by the plutocrats and just don't bother voting. It's just a waste of time. And I just don't agree with that myself. From my point of view, there's a huge difference between Harris and that guy, Waltz. I mean, they have said, come right out and said clearly that if they're elected, they will definitely censor. They will stop misinformation. Hillary Clinton came right out just the other day and said that anyone who spreads misinformation should go to jail. So, and any vegan that votes Democrat is not getting the message, right? If you say, oh, you don't need to eat dairy to be healthy, you go to jail. That's spreading misinformation. That's what's going to happen. You know, vegans jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, we don't like those anti-vaxxers. We should throw them in jail. Then you'll be thrown in jail for being pro-vegan because that goes against the agenda or for questioning eating bugs or for questioning eating lab-grown meat. So we have to, no matter what, we have to protect freedom of speech. The Democrats have said clearly they're not going to protect freedom of speech, not going to. Clearly they're going to keep the border open, all these other things, and war and everything. I mean, I'm completely, you know, as a lifelong Democrat, I am completely, you'd have to shoot me before I would vote Democrat at this point. I wouldn't do it. My life depended on it. I mean, they are, it's interesting. You know, I watched the whole Republican convention, not whole thing, but I watched a lot of it. And pretty much the whole energy and everything about it, the plutocrats would hate it. They hated it. It was all about taking responsibility at a local level for the quality of our food, for the quality of our education, keeping our guns so we can protect ourselves from the government, and you know, all these things. And they hate that. They hate all that. The plutocrats hate that. They want us enslaved. If you watch the Democrat convention, it was all totally what the plutocrats want. It was shutting down misinformation. They had, you know, total, like, you know, promoting abortions right up till birth. I mean, things that are really, I think, just really very, very problematic, and so many things. I mean, to me, it's a difference. You know, not that I don't understand that the deep state, no matter who becomes president and who becomes Congress. We got a deep state that killed Kennedy, and there was a coup d'etat at that point, and they've been running things ever since, and we pretend to do think we do something when we vote. But I still think there's a difference. We need to be able to, we need more than anything to keep our freedom of speech. That's the most important thing, and our freedom of bodily autonomy. I mean, Kamala Harris, I've heard her people, she won't let anyone around her unless they've been vaccinated and boosted. All her workers have to be boosted. You know, they're going to mandate everyone be vaccinated no matter what. You know, we're going to lose our health freedom. If you lose your health freedom and your freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of assembly, which they are bound and determined to take that away. So at least the Republicans and with Kennedy, they're populist. They're more, it comes out of the populace, I think. And so I, you know, from my point of view, we got to give support them. I mean, Kennedy has really talked to Trump a lot about the fact that, you know, nuclear war. I mean, we have right now, do you know what's happening? I mean, we are actually giving Ukraine American missiles to fire into Russian territory, and Putin and Russia have far greater nuclear capabilities than we have. And what, this is insanity, and no one's even talking about it. It's not even in the mainstream media. So these Democrats are insane. I mean, we have to understand that they're just completely bought and paid for by satanic forces. So, you know, I think the most important thing, again, like I keep saying, is our spiritual path. But we have to have clear vision of what's happening and question the mainstream media and the official narratives, and try our best to just be a force for healing and understanding, and see that the way evil. So-called evil, which is basically centralization of power, right? Centralization of power. Look at it that way. Whatever centralizes power, that's slavery. So these AI and information technology and big data and all these, they're all centralizing power. and you get all that power in the hands of a tiny minority. They tell you what you can eat, what you cannot eat, what you have to, what pills you have to take. It's not a good idea. We need to decentralize and use that as your criteria for who to vote for and what to vote for and how to live our lives. That's what we have to do. I'm over time. Madeline is reminding me here. So let's have our closing. So I got a little bit on a rampage there, but this has been building up inside me for quite a while.
Yay!
I know it's a. These are like my father was. He was a real patriot, and I always thought, he said, yeah, get the U.S. out of the United Nations. I said, Dad, we need the United Nations. Come on, what are you crazy? And now I realize he was right. I mean, it's like, it's a total sheep. What do they call it? A wolf in sheep's clothing. And so to have discriminating awareness, wisdom, whatever. Even if we get it late in life, it's better than never. Better late than never. All right, so we love you. Thanks, everyone. Let's go ahead and say our prayer for compassion for all beings together. All right, here we go. This is the most important thing. And unmute your unmute yourselves. Here we go. Compassion circle, everywhere. Great. Again,
compassion circle,
for all beings everywhere. One more time.
Compassion circles everywhere.
All right, we love you. Thanks, everyone. We look forward to next time.
I think we should sing happy birthday.
Actually, we have to go, Lisa. That's a nice thought, but. In Switzerland, it's considered bad luck to wish someone happy birthday before their birthday. So we have to.
Is that right? Okay.
20 seconds, so it's after.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. All right. We love you, everybody.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks. Yeah, bye-bye. All right.
Bye.